suffer in the name of the Lord this morning and extend my praise. You are celebrating this morning. Give praise and God. Lift up your voice and just thank Him. What a wonderful time to be here this morning. It's a privilege to be here this morning, and I want us to just bless Him. Thank you. Give Him praise this morning. Adore His name. Give Him praise. Give Him reverence. Jesus, You are worthy to be praised. Oceans of peace, I am what I am. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Bless You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Can you open your hands together and celebrate God this morning? Go ahead and celebrate this morning. Can you holler glory? Can you holler glory? Amen. Please, you may have your seat this morning. Amen. Okay, I think we're streaming online. Please, you can check the Facebook and just share the link with your friends. And then let's get started this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, this is the final of the final Revelation conference before. And understand that God is up to something this morning. God is up to something this morning. I don't believe there's anyone here who will not be touched this morning. I don't believe it. So I want you to get prepared. Align yourself with what God is about to do. Two of our guest ministers will be joining us very soon. So I want you to get set. Those of you that were here yesterday, there was a release of fire. So prepare for more. The Bible says that the glory of the latter, of course, shall be greater than the former. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So this is the last conference. So I'm going to be sharing with us this morning just some things I want to let us know this morning about spoken word. I don't like this. Please, if you can help me, I'll be fine. About the spoken word. Amen. You have to change the badge. I think you get the new badge and change. Amen. So, I'm just going to tell us something. You know, we've been laying foundations from the first day of this conference about the spoken word. And the theme of this conference is Speak the Word Only, from Matthew chapter 8 verse 8. So let's put that up now. Matthew 8 verse 8, where we are starting from this morning. Now the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak only, and my servant shall be healed. Am I making sense this morning? Speak the word only. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so alright, now this is it. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Can we just bow down our heads and pray in the spirit this morning? Let's just pray in the spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to have his way this morning like never before. Galendi atabazun de ba kashen de griza da sunde ya lega suke pande ya tabazun di ata shege de bosu bi ata nezi ata lega zun prate nezi ata da gonsh lega su kapa di brande ki anda suria lega su kinda kresha katuzia. Lord, we give you praise this morning. We celebrate you, Rabbi Kassan de Gris, and the Gris of Godonzia, Matan de Kesukreti, and the Gadabashataba, Eleginzo Grozia, and Badabashata, Lekendinze Kruche Kabaronzia, Legenzuki Parisianta. Thank you, Father. We celebrate you this morning. Likande Basunte Gris, and the Grusata, the Spring, the Spirit. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh miseries. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah be unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 1 verse 4. So there are five things I want to learn this morning about the ministry of the spoken word. Speak the word only. So five things here this morning. Number one, you must learn that the word is life, and the word is a life giver. The word of God is life, and the word of God is a life giver. Amen. Amen. So that's why you have to speak the word. Because the word is life, and the word is also a life giver. Now look at John. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's start from the beginning. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Next verse. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Next verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. Next verse, look at this now. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So go back to verse 4. Let's look at that now. Verse 4. In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So we are talking about the Word here. He said, in the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. So when I speak the word, I am speaking life. That's just a simple understanding. When I speak the word, I am speaking life, not death. And you must understand that there are two things in this world. It is either the thing is living or the thing is dead. So it is life and death. Then the Bible says, I have placed before you life and death. So here the word is life. So the word is not dead. The word is life. The word is living. And so anytime I speak the word, I am speaking life. He says, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, understand this. I want you to get this. See, when somebody is sick, now somebody was saying the other day that the person is half dead. So, it all depends on the, what word would I use now? Is it gravity of the sickness or the, borrow me one word, let me use. the severity of the sickness. If you are half sick, that means you are half dead. You understand? If it's 60% of the part of your body that is sick, that means you are 60% dead. So if it's 80% of your body that is sick, it means you are 80% dead. You are close to the edge. You just only have 20% life. So any part of your body that is not functioning, that part is dead. And so that's why the word, because the word is life, when you speak life to that part of the body, that part of the body receives life. And that part of the body comes back to life. So understand that when I am speaking the word, I am not speaking a mere word. I am speaking life. So that's something you must understand. In him was what? Life. Life. Jesus told them clearly. He said, these words that I'm speaking, they are spirit, they are life. So that man understood perfectly. And he said, look, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Glory be to God. So first thing you must know, the word is what? It's life. Now put up Ezekiel chapter 7, you will understand. Because any time life come in contact with death, that death will come back to life. Anytime life comes in contact with death, the death will come back to life. That's why Jesus, when he got to the grave of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came back to life. He got to that young girl, 12 years old, who was dead. And he said, young girl, arise. Talita kum. And the girl that was dead came back to life. So, anytime you speak the word, it is a release of life. So if you understand this, anything that is dead in your life, look for the word and speak the word, and that thing comes back to life. Because once life comes in contact with death, that death will be swallowed up in victory. Do you understand this now? Now look at this now. He said, in the light, now Ezekiel, I said Ezekiel chapter 37, please put that up for me. Amen. Look at this. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Now he said bones. Now next verse. He said, and caused me to pass by them. That you have to invigilate or supervise just to ensure the state of the whole matter, the state of those bones. See, just look at them very well so that you don't think that they are doing your juro here. Now, he said, cause me and by them to and pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dead. What an assessment of the state. They were not just bones, but they were dry bones. And they were not just dry bones, but they were very dry. That's a hopeless case. Hopeless case. I don't think my life will ever be good again. That's what he's talking about here. Very dry. You know, Martha told Jesus, he said, this time he stinketh. We have told our brother to rest in peace. We have forgotten about him. This time he stinketh. And Jesus looked at him. Didn't I tell you that I am the resurrection and the life? In him was life. Now look at this now. Next verse. Verse 3. He said, and he said unto me, Son of man. Now God was talking to him now. Son of man, can these bones live? Can this hopeless situation change? Can this case be transformed? Can this case metamorphose? Can this situation change? I've been diagnosed of cancer. Can it change? Can you live again? I'm suffering from arthritis, and it has been 5 years now. Can this situation change? Can I ever live a happy life? And God was asking a man. I said, when God is asking a man, it doesn't mean that he cannot do, he doesn't know what to do. He's just going to test the level of your intelligence, spiritual intelligence. Because this man didn't know. Look at how he answered. He said, and I answer, Lord, thou knowest. Don't open your mouth and be saying what you don't know. Don't be saying, I don't die, oh, my own not better again. Don't be saying, if you don't know, keep quiet. You know, some of you were here yesterday, and there were prophetic words being released. And sometimes when those prophetic words comes like this, your own belief inside you, we antagonize that prophetic word. Is it because of unbelief they didn't enter the arrest? He said, let us not fall after the same example of unbelief. So he said, thou knowest. Now watch this, an experiment. Next verse. Again he said unto me, Son of man, speak the word. Prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word. In him was what? Life. Here, I told you that everything here was, including dry bones. Is it your business that will not hear what? Is it your marriage that will not hear what? Is it your academics that will not hear what? Even the wind and the sea, they obey him. You see, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And one thing I must bring to your notice is that you must address issues specifically. Now, if you have pain in your leg, don't be saying, Father, heal me. No. Talk to that leg. You leg, hear the word of the Lord. Don't be saying, oh, my body. No, it's not all your body that is sick. It's that place. Speak to it. Be specific. So he said, hear the word of the Lord. Next verse. Yes. Bye. Thus said the Lord unto, see, look at what we've been teaching since. You don't speak your own word. It is the Zoe out of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? John said, this is the record that you have eternal life. And because you have eternal life, it's the confidence that you have. So it's not your word. It is the Zoe that is inside you. Because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So he's saying, is not my word, dry bones, hear the word
of the Lord, because in him was life. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So look at this now. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus hear the Lord unto the bones.
Now, have you stepped forward? Thus hear the Lord unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. Now, go to the next verse.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you up with skins, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Next verse.
So, emokufele kri katosha. Did you hear this now? So I prophesied. I spoke the word only as I was commanded. Do you understand? And as I was commanded, I spoke the word. And as I prophesied, as you start speaking the word, there was a noise. The first thing that you will notice, there was a noise. There will be kapa, and that noise might not be physical, but you'll be hearing it in your spirit. Things will be moving. And say, when something is about to happen, you will hear a noise. The Bible said the spirit of the Lord was brooding. There was a noise. There was a noise. He said, I heard a noise, and behold, a shaking. Kabab. So from noise to shaking. Hey, then you know said. And the bones came together. Bones to his bones.
If you have done biology before, you will understand. There's one process, I've forgotten the name. It will tell us that the head of the femur will enter the acetabulum. You know femur? Amen. How many of you can remember a student? You understand? This is the ball and socket joint. Now, this is the hip bone. Now, the head of this bone here is called femur. And this place is the acetabulum. So, it forms a joint. So, even if the head of the femur or the leg bone is on the left or the west, and the other one is in the south, as the spoken word comes forth, the bones will start locating. You know, this evening we are going to do practical. You can say you are here. I want a relationship. I want somebody to marry me. This is scripture for you. The man can be in Kaduna, but when the word comes forth, it can be in the Plata. The man in Kaduna will start locating. He start locating because there's a part of me that is missing. It's here in Benin. Do you understand what I'm saying here? See, so the bones, they were locating. The skull was somewhere else. And then skull started locating. These bones were dry. Completely dried. But as the word starts coming, now understand this now, it's a process. Don't just speak once and forget. It's a process. First, start with a noise. Those things will give you encouragement that something is happening. Then shaking. And then you see reconnecting.
Glory be to God.
Next verse. Look at this now. Verse 8.
And when I heard, lo, sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them.
Is it time to stop speaking?
No. The job must be done. For God does not have abandoned project. Except you abandon the project. Do you understand?
And then look at what the man did. Next verse. Next verse, please.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds. Now, understand this now. Who is he referring to? Who is he speaking to? Speaking the word to now. Talk to me, church. It's like the disciples didn't see this one before. When they said even the wind and the sea obey him. It has been in the Old Testament. He told Ezekiel, speak to the wind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Speak to the wind. There's life in this world. He says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live.
Next verse.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Have you seen this now? But we didn't start like this. We started as dry bones. Now, after that the word came forth, they stood up as dry, as a great army. Glory be to God.
So you must understand that the word has got life.
Amen. Can somebody shout hallelujah for me? Can you shout hallelujah for me? Hebrews 4 verse 20. Amen. Watch this now.
For the word of God is quick. And what? Powerful.
I want to add weight to that word.
It's quick.
That word is active. It's alive. It's a word that is used to describe a man. When you say somebody is alive. The word of God is a living thing.
And it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart.
Use another translation for me.
He says, the word of God is quick, it's alive. The word is alive. The word is alive. The word is not dead. The word is alive. The word of God is alive.
Glory be to God.
The word of God is life and is a life giver.
And when it comes in contact with death, the dead comes alive. So if I were you, I'll be looking for anything dead in my life. Anything that is dead, that is not working. You know the characteristics of living things. You know, they said it has movement, it has respiration, it has reproduction, it has growth. You know, name them. Do you understand? If anything in your life is not experiencing growth, is not experiencing reproduction, is not fruitful, what do? You speak the word. You know, this thing is dead. You speak the word. Glory be to God. Can we pray in the spirit? Just pray in the spirit.
Life is coming.
Pray in the spirit this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the spirit this morning. Leklam de kashanta baroj. Sembarenda kayatash. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Now, the next thing I want to share with you is that the word of God is powerful. I won't spend time on this. It's powerful. See, the word is quick and what?
Powerful.
Amen. What's the definition of power? Is it in fixes? Eh? What did they define? How did they define it? You know, the ability to... Am I right? Is it not work? the ability to. Okay, I'm not prayer well done by time, yeah. But one of the things is what that you need power for is to do work. Abi, is there a work in your life that needs to be done? You need power. You need power. Newton's first law of motion. What did he say? He said an object will remain in its state of rest. I said there is an external force that comes in, and that's power. Things don't just go on their own. Things don't grow on their own. Things don't work on their own. I said there is an external force, and that's the power. He says the word of God can do it for you. Those bones would have remained dry for life, but there was an external force that comes in. So this word is powerful. Is not a joke. The word of God is powerful. Let me jump to the next one because of time. Next thing is, I want you to learn is the word of God is a spirit. It's not a visible thing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirits, they are life. John 6:63. Spirit. This word is spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Then the fourth one is the word of God is like hammer. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Put that up for me. Like this. Say, Mane Kruziba. We will rise in your name. Adonai, you reign on earth. We will rise in your name. Adonai, you reign on earth. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. And you put that up. You reign on earth. Now look at this now. Does not my word burn like fire? I don't want to go there this morning. But this is the second part. Says the Lord, it's not like a mighty hammer that smashes rock to pieces. So understand this. That when you are speaking the word, it's like hammer. That smashes rock, break rock to pieces. So if there's anything that is standing on your way, it's like a rock. He said, who is that mountain before Zerubbabel? Thou shall become a plain. So the word of God is like a hammer. Breaks rock into pieces. And this is how it works. That when you want to destroy a wall or a barrier, in that sense, you take the hammer and start hitting it. When you hit it the first time, the wall might not fall. But you must understand that a crack will happen. They said every empire, they crack before they crumble. Before a wall will crumble, there must be a crack. So at every time you hit the hammer, there will be a crack. You hit again, there will be a crack. You hit again, there will be a crack. And as you continue to hit, now, one day you will just hit the final one. And you see the entire wall will crumble. And someone say, oh, it was that last one, sir. It's not the last one, no. It's a combination. That's what you call the law of addition. It's a combination of the first hit with the last one. That's why you must keep talking the word and don't stop talking. So you see a barrier before you to speak the word. Now, don't be disturbed or perturbed that nothing is happening.
there's already a noise, even if you can't hear it. When Ezekiel spoke, there was a noise. You know, the way, there's a way you hit the wall, you don't hear anything. You hit the wall and it's like nothing is happening. Before you know, you start hearing noise. You get to that level where you hear noise. And then before you know, you start hearing a shaking. The wall will no longer be strong again. You say, something is happening. And then you keep hitting, and keep hitting, and keep hitting. The next time, you hit and the wall, something is happening to you right now. It's like hammer. Think about any rock standing before you right now. It takes the word. You keep hitting, keep speaking. That's why God told Joshua, he said, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must keep speaking it. You must keep saying it. You must keep addressing it. It's like hammer. The Bible says he smashed rock to pieces. Rock symbolizes something that is very strong. It's a barrier. That's what the word of God does. Hallelujah. And finally, the word comes as light. You know, before you start speaking, you must receive. Do you get what I'm saying? And the word comes as light. That's revelation. John chapter 1 verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So to receive the word that you are going to speak, it will come as light. And when it comes as light, you have a revelation, and then you step out to, the Greek word is homologio, to say what God said. Ezekiel said, hear the word of the Lord. It's not my word, it's the word of the Lord. You are repeating what God has said because you have received the revelation. You have received understanding. I was telling you yesterday that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was saying to the Ephesians church, he said, when I heard of your faith and your love, I started praying for you. One would have thought that, a church that has faith, powerful. A church that's got love, powerful. They don't need prayer. Paul said, when I heard of your faith and your love, I started praying for you. What was he praying? What's the content of the prayer? He said that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. Then in verse 18, he said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's when revelation comes. So you don't just carry speak. You don't just start speaking. You must receive a revelation. And the word comes as light. Jesus talked about the light of life. So once you receive it, the revelation comes as light. Wow! What an understanding. Put up that Ephesians for me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Just read from verse 18. Understand what he wants them to know. You discover that a person who has faith might not have revelation. And your faith is useless. Can't move mountains. Now look at this. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. In fact, one translation says, the eyes of your heart be flooded with light. Understanding, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, so that you will know. You remember the first day we talked about know that you have eternal life. That you will know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, they didn't know, but they had faith. They had love. So there was no result. So the word comes. Now, look at them. Next verse. Look at this now. And what is the exceeding? You know, what is the exceeding greatness? It's not the greatness of his power. Understand it. It is the exceeding greatness. That word exceeding, see, it's above. So he couldn't describe how powerful. He couldn't describe or fathom the greatness. And so he uses the word exceeding greatness. How did he exceed it? We can't measure it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, this man is great. We're fine. But what we are talking about exceeds greatness. So what is that thing that exceeds greatness? Can you define it? I can't. Now he's saying that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? So that's why I told you this word is quick and powerful. So he is praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, so that you will know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Are we together, church?
This. So the word comes as light and comes as revelation. And once you have the revelation, you step out. That's why Ezekiel, he stood, he was calm. He listens to God. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me. See. Jeremiah became a prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he said, and from verse 4, he said, the word of the Lord came unto me. I said, before I formed thee, what a revelation. I knew thee. And he discovered that, look, I've ordained you a prophet to the nations. And for five generations, Jeremiah was relevant. Because the word came as light. So you don't just start speaking. You will have to receive light. The light of life. Amen. No, those are the five things I said I was just going to share with us so that you understand how effective, how powerful the word of God is. So when you are speaking, understand that if it's a barrier that you want to face, you sit down and stamp your feet like that. Ha! I want to hit this wall. There's someone who stands. Maybe you're working in the office and someone stands and says, you are not going to be promoted. You are a wall. Ah! The word of God is hammer. You stand. I'll remove this man from the way. If I speak once, and I will know that there's a shaking until the man start making noise. Did you understand what I'm saying here? So if you understand this, nothing can stand before you as a barrier. So I just want you to understand what you are saying, how powerful this word is. Okay, let me share some other things with us while we wait for our speakers this morning. Am I making sense at all? Okay, I was going to share this yesterday, but you know, I didn't have the time to do that. Now, the effectiveness of the spoken word is founded in the expression of the highest authority, which is a delegated authority. Now, what I mean is, for the word of God to be effective, is the ministry of the spoken word, is founded in the fact that there is an authority, the expression of authority. And this authority is a delegated one. That means, originally, you're not the owner of the authority, but you are delegated. Now, like we saw from the experiment of Ezekiel, it was a delegated authority. So, and the man made it clear. He said, "Where ye dry bone, hear the word of the Lord. I prophesied as I was commanded." So, it's a delegated authority. So, when you say you are speaking the word, it is a delegated authority. So, it's not my power. Now, when you, so for you to just understand, if you know, someone is invited to be the chairman of an event. Now, if the man is not available, he can delegate someone to represent him. So when the person goes to that event, all the respect, everything that they were supposed to give to the chairman, they will give to him, because the person is standing in place of the chairman. Now, this is a spiritual principle. Now, in terms of inheritance, when, you know, if you do look at them, one of our conferences, we're talking about the Son of God. Now, in the Hebrew tradition, this is what happens. That if the father of a son is not available for a family meeting or for an event, and the father sends his son, now, they don't call the person the son. They don't call him, ah, where's your father? No, you don't need the father. As far as the son is there, the power, the authority, everything that the father will have, the son has it. So they say the son is the father. That's Hebrew tradition. The son is the father. So if I say I am the son of Mr. John, what I'm simply saying, I am John. That's how the Hebrew understands it. If you say I am the son of Mr. John Boo, I'm not saying, what I'm telling you is that I am John Boo. That's what I'm saying. They don't understand. So in fact, when they want to ask, before they even talk to you at all, they'll ask, whose son are you? That's the Jewish tradition. So if you wake up one morning and say, I am the son of God, what you are telling them, that you are God. That's scripture. You are God. And that was why they crucified him. Because he said to them, I am the son of God. They said it is blasphemy. And anybody who blasphemes is worthy of death. So because Jesus said, I am the son of God, when he was telling them, I am God, I said, you being a man, you are making yourself God. And so they crucified him. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So you but understand this very clearly, that in John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says he was the only begotten. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he was no longer the only begotten. He became the first begotten. Why? Because he brought us into sonship. Do you understand? He can no longer say, hey, it's my brother. No. He can no longer say, it's my servant. We are brothers. Because I too am a son of God. And if I step into any territory, I say I'm a son of God, what I'm simply saying is I am God. And that's why God said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So this authority is delegated. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when the man starts speaking in that event, everybody will respond. Say, oh, I want to make a donation of 25 million. Everybody will clap. But the neighbor knows that man, that the man does not have anything. But he will not doubt him because he's talking with the authority of the man who sent him. Do you understand what I'm saying here? A governor will send you to an event. The governor will say, when you get there, donate the sum of 50 million. But you don't have a car. You walk to that place. There was no siren. Nobody came with you, but you went to that place. But the man had received an information that I will send someone to represent me. And the person confirmed that you are the one representing the governor. He will respect you even though you didn't have a car or you didn't came with entourage. And anything you say, he will respect it because the governor is here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will not come and say, I pledge 50 million. And the man will say, ah, you that didn't have a car, you didn't even come with a car. No, he won't say that because he knows whose authority you are using. So this spoken word is expressed in a delegated authority. So when I speak to cancer, it's not me that is speaking. No, I was delegated to speak. I prophesied as I was commanded.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why you must understand that this man, the centurion, understood this. That the authority, he said, I'm a man of under authority, and I'm also a man of authority. I have soldiers under me, 100 soldiers. We talked about that now. So when I say go, they go. When I say go, they go. But one thing you must know, that you must stay for you to be able to express that authority effectively, and for it to work, you must stay in that position where you are delegated. The man will have to, remember I told you, we don't know the name of the man. The man's name is not the centurion. It was the position that he occupies. You get me now? Do you understand what I'm saying here? His name is not the centurion, it was the position that he occupies. If you say Mr. Governor, Mr. Governor is not his name. It's the position. And it is that position that carries that delegated authority. So you must remain the governor if you want to speak words that will be obeyed. You must remain the centurion for the soldiers under you to continue to obey you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Demons will obey you if you are not in position. You must be in a position where you have been given that delegated authority. And so when the man say go, they go. When they say come, they come. Yeah, they obey him. But the day they found out that that man has been sacked, Sebani Kruti Paliata, the day they discovered that the man has resigned, the day they discovered that the same man has what? Retired. He's no longer in that position. And he said, go. I said, go. The same people who was obeying him, they're no longer obeying. He said, you're a retired soldier. You no longer have the delegated authority. But that authority didn't belong to the centurion. It belonged to the government. The highest authority. So it's the government who gave him that authority to use over his 100 soldiers. So if I must speak words that will be obeyed by demons, by winds, by obstacles, by mountains, if I must speak words, I must stay in line with God. I must stay in a position where he has delegated me. Am I making sense, church? You must stay in that position. Otherwise, now let me ask you, why do you think that people obey, command? Why do you think that demons obey command? Now, he said, I say to this, go. I said, hey, your fellow man, sometimes you might even be older than the person. You sit down there, you see that. Why? Let me tell you something today. That every act of disobedience, what follows this is punishment. And because people are afraid of punishment, they obey. Do you get what I'm saying? Nobody wants to be punished. Why will a cancer live when you command that cancer to go? It's because the cancer or the demon that is operating that cancer is afraid of punishment. I will show in the scripture that edict that you are commanding to go, the reason why he's leaving when he hears the command from God's word is because he's afraid of punishment. And many of us don't even know how to punish demons when they disobey you. You don't understand. You can punish them when they disobey, because there's a provision in the scripture. And for that to happen, your own obedience would have been fulfilled. So that's why I said you must stay in that position. Be a centurion for them to obey you. Do you get what I'm saying? So, now let's look at something and let's just see what happens. Amen. Now put up Mark chapter 5. No, before that, Mark chapter 5, let's see Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I just want to tell you that, you know, every disobedience there's punishment, and that's why people obey. No, you see those dry bones now, they obey because they are afraid. The highest authority has spoken. A governor will speak. You have the man to say you don't obey. Because all things were made by what? Now look at this now. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Sleep. Next verse. Look at this. For if the word spoken by angels. Now these angels, they were speaking delegated authority. The word spoken by angels was steadfast. That it came to pass. Prophetic accuracy. And every transgression, that means everybody who disobeyed the words that angels spoke, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That they were punished for disobeying what angels said. Do you get what I'm saying here? So God will speak. You will have the audacity to say you won't obey. Get what I'm saying here? Don't look and say, this thing is normal thing. It's not a living thing. They will be punished. I want you to understand that. Why things must obey you. Now, look at the next verse now. He said, yeah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great alabatoshka? So great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by what? The Lord himself. And was confirmed unto us by them who heard it, who the authority was delegated to, the apostles. How shall we escape? If those who disobeyed the words of angels were punished, what about the words that God spoke by himself? Now, look at Mark. Let me just buttress this point. And I'll continue with the last point. And then we'll close. Can we holler, glory be to God? Can we holler, glory be to God? Can we holler, glory be to God? Holler, glory be to God. Now watch. Just help me with Mark chapter 5. From verse 5. I'm sure you know where we are now, right now. I'm trying to tell you why things must obey God's word, because there is punishment. And always, night and day, he was in the. Now, let's turn to verse 4. Just take a step back for a second. Because that he had. Okay, don't worry, verse 5. He was talking about a man that was possessed of legion, was possessed with demons. And then they said that legion is like 6,000 demons inside one man. Okay, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tomb crying and cutting himself with stones. Next verse. Look at the next verse. But when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and did what? Worshipped him. Next verse. Look at this. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Is the demon talking out through the man? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. That word that John means, I beg you. Why is he afraid? I beg you. I beg thee by God. Demons begging Jesus by God. He was afraid that thou torment me. No, that word torment is punishment, something that brings pain, torture, the Greek word torture, something that brings pain. That means if anybody disobey God's word, he will be tortured, is liable to be tortured, to be tormented. He said, when you speak now and I don't obey,
they were 6,000 demons afraid.
Now put it in another translation, NLC. Let's look at it. What
with a
is it NLC? What's that word? How do you pronounce that word? No, don't worry, just that word. How do you pronounce it?
With a streak, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God."
Demon. I've never seen demon begging in the name of God. Have you seen it today? Demon begging the name of God.
What?
Your Satan, your devil, your charmer, is why is in the name of it? He was begging the name of the highest authority. Do you get it? That even Satan, his master, cannot help him. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I beg you, don't touch on me. Don't. Look at next verse. Next verse. That's good.
For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." So he disobeyed Jesus' instruction. Jesus had, why he was begging, it was because he had disobeyed Jesus' instruction. Jesus said, and Jesus saw the man, get out of him. He refused to get out. And because he now realized, they realized that punishment is coming, torture is coming, they started begging.
You think demon, that's what one of our speakers was telling, you think they will just go like that? Because there's a punishment.
A soldier knows that once they disobey their authority, there's punishment. That's why they must obey. You can't disobey a general. You can't disobey your superior authority. You think that pain, that arthritis, that disease, you will just obey like that? There's punishment. If anybody that disobeyed angels, they collected punishment. Is it the word that was spoken by God himself?
Look at next verse. Do we have anything from you? Verse 9.
Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" Because I've never seen Jesus asking demon, "What's your name?" But this one has disobeyed. We must put that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's write, you know, when they say, when you disobey, they don't write name normally in a class. When you make noise, you are committed, they will put down your name. Do you understand this now? What is your name? We have to pin you down for special disobedience.
Are we together, sir?
What is your name? And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." You know, they said, "Not be only me." We came to agreement that we should disobey. He's not me. We are plenty.
Next verse. Look at next verse.
Then the evil spirit begged him again and again. Not to send them to some distant places. Part of punishment. They want to oversee that territory. They are enjoying that territory.
Do you understand? Have you ever spoken to anything that disobeyed you?
You need to punish.
Do you get what I'm saying? And part of the punishment, you can say, okay, you know, you are, is this stomach ache? Okay, the last time I spoke, you did not obey. So in the next 60 years, you can't infect anybody in this territory again. That's punishment. Because one of the things that gives Satan joy is to see people cry. So in order to remove that joy from Satan, you punish him. Go to 1 Corinthians, is it 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6? You see this. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 6. Am I making sense at all, church? This, what we are saying is practical Christian. If you don't live that, you can just be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't know these things. And after you have come fully obedient, that you are standing in your place of authority, you will punish everyone who remains disobedient. One translation says, when your own obedience is fulfilled. So what I told you is that you must stay in that position of delegated authority where you can punish everyone who remains in disobedience. So the question I'm asking, why are you not punishing disobedience? Amen. Can you just punish some, can you punish some demons? Just bow down here and punish some demons. The ones that you have spoken before and they didn't leave, just punish them a little. Find one kind of punishment and give them. You can send them far away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me also share one or two things with you and then. There are times where, you know, somebody who has a higher authority becomes a stubborn block. You have a lower authority. So a younger officer cannot command a senior one. Do you get? So when you do, you won't get results. You won't get results. And so what you need to do, the recommendation is that you will upgrade your delegated authority. Upgrade it. You know, the disciples came to Jesus and say, why couldn't we cast out this demon? That demon was a very high one, high rank demon. Say, why couldn't we? And Jesus first said, it's because of your faith you are. He said, howbeit, this type went not out except by what? Prayer and fasting. So he's telling you that one of the things that you can do to upgrade your rank, your delegated authority, is by fasting and prayer. You will notice very clear that after fasting and prayer, your level, your rank, spiritual rank will increase. That's what Elijah did after praying. He came and said, according to my word, you're great. So as you step into 2025, upgrade your spiritual rank. Don't leave yourself like that. Upgrade it. Upgrade it. And as you pray, engage in fasting. Some of you are not even prepared. You are not even prepared for 2025 yet. Are we together, church? You are not prepared. Man of God, welcome, sir. You have to be very conscious of two things. Let me just add this to it and then on be out of here.
Be conscious of the things.
Remember, Pastor Kessie was talking about, you know, what you think and what you look at. Very important. See, let me tell you something. It's caution. This is caution. Two things. I was talking about the 12 spies. Actually, they were 12 leaders from each of the tribes. What they did, and listen, no matter how you speak, it won't work if you magnify the problem above the power of the spoken words. Please get this. You know, when I started, I told you that the word is powerful. But in your heart, you can magnify the power or that problem above the power of the spoken word. And once that is done, it's game over. Now listen to this. They said when they were giving back the report, the 10 spies, they said when we went to the land, of course, what God said about the land is true. Look at the roots and all of that. We have evidence. They said, but there's a problem. The problem is we saw giants. Watch this now. See, we saw giants. They were sons of Anakim. They were renowned. Everybody knows them. You hear about them. Now you stand them, you are like, you know, you claim that you are tall, but when you stand before them, you just know that you are nowhere. They can just hit your head and just they can. And when they saw them, now, for you to understand what they did, they said they didn't understand what they did. You know, when you are going through some things, rather than speaking, you just throw a pity party. You just sit at home and you want people to go, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. What you're doing is you are magnifying the problem above the spoken word. He said, we saw this giant, and this giant, in their eyes, in our eyes, we looked at them and saw them, they were giants. And I was okay with that. There's no problem because that's how you saw the problem. Your worldview, but they went further to say, in the eyes of the giants, we were like grasshoppers. And I was wondering, did you enter their eyes? How did you know how they were looking at you? And the Bible already said that because the giants had what God has done in the land of Egypt, their spirit left them. The giants were already dead, but they were looking at the giant and magnifying the problem. And thinking that the giants were looking at them as grasshoppers. So once you find yourself in that state, no matter what you speak, game over, nothing will happen. And that's why he said, look, let us not fall after the same example of unbelief. So I don't know what you're going through. Of course I don't know. But the point is, when you sit down and start thinking about the problem, what you're doing, you are magnifying the problem. That's what you call a magnifying lens. And so once you put the lens on, what you're seeing becomes magnified. And that's not the real size. It's not the real size. You're just using the wrong lens. One of the errors that we make is that we don't evaluate well. We don't evaluate our problems well. That's why many people die untimely death. What shouldn't have kept you in a state will because of how you evaluated it. that's one. Then finally, caution. See, this ministry of the spoken word must be done with a pure motive. Once your motive is wrong, as a man of God was saying something like that yesterday, once your motive is wrong, forget it. It won't work. That's why Jesus said, when you come to the altar to present something as you want to pray, you brought anything that you want to go, I want to offer it to God. He said, and you remember that someone has something against you. He said, leave that thing there, because you are going to offer that sacrifice with an adulterated motive. He said, go back and correct it and then come back again. You can't be sneaky. I command you to walk. Why are you commanding? Why are you speaking? So you must check your heart. It must be with an unadulterated motive. God is not a respecter of any man. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So check your heart before you start speaking. You see that experiment? Ezekiel's experiment. What did he say? When God said, son of man, can this bone live? Now, if the man was having an adulterated motive, he would have had something to say. Imagine you evaluated somebody as this person is the one, you know, maybe the person is moving forward in life and your motive. No, when somebody gets promoted or buy a new car or something, check your heart. Especially when the father, you both started together. Somebody is just promoted. How do you feel in your heart? Are you happy for the person or something? And then you just see something is working for the person, and then the next thing, you take yourself out and say, I'm going to go and confess the word. Your motive is adulterated. So those are the two things you must be very careful about. So let's bow down our heads this morning. Just talk to God, church. I don't know what you have had, but that's
Jesus. We need to set our hearts right before God. You know, we've been talking about speaking the word, and the major parts of it have been around manifestation.